Do you want to learn effective ways to build relationships, generate sales, and grow your business from successful entrepreneurs, startups, and CEOs without listening to a long, long, long interview? If so, you've come to the right place. Gresham Harkness values your time and is ready to share with you precisely the information you're in search of. This is the I Am CEO Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gretch from the I Am CEO Podcast. I have a very special guest on the show today. I have Brian Kelly of BrianKellyLeadershipCoaching.com. Brian, it's awesome to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Super excited to have you on. And what I want to do is just read a little bit more about Brian so you can hear about all the awesome things that he's doing. And Brian Kelly is a success coach and business consultant who works with socially conscious small to medium sized companies to create more inclusive work environments and to unleash human greatness in their people and teams, producing better business and human results. Brian's career spans 3 decades across information technology, human resources, project management, people development, and nonprofit leadership. Brian is committed to advancing diversity, inclusion, belonging, and equity for greater economic and career opportunities for all human beings. Brian, are you ready to speak to the IMCO community?
Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Let's do it. So I wanted to kick everything off and just hear a little bit more about that background and your CEO story and what led you to start your business.
So let me start my business. So it took someone else seeing something in me that I hadn't seen in myself, which is ironically what I do right now.
For others, yeah.
And so always have been I play a lot of sports growing up and through my life. And so always have been a coach on the field and a team player. And I saw in terms of that role being very strategic. And so I was part of this nonprofit. I shouldn't say nonprofit. It was a volunteer organization within the organization I was working at. It was focused on leadership development of people at the early career stage, right? But didn't really have opportunities within their job to gain leadership skills. So we helped with providing those kind of service-based opportunities as well as networking opportunities to senior leaders across the organization to create an interconnected network at all levels. Mm-hmm. And so as I was helping to lead the organization for one or two of the years there, I was blessed to be the person that introduced a mentoring program to the community. And so as part of that, I connected to an internal leadership coach. And so as we're going through our conversations, you know, with regard to this particular arrangement, he's like, you should think about going to Georgetown's Transformational Leadership Coaching Program. And that's where he saw something in me. And so it's ironic because that's not the first time someone had mentioned it to me, but it was the time I was ready to hear it.
Right.
So in terms of that timing being right, so I went through Georgetown and I ended up leaving my company because I knew I wanted to go into coaching. There weren't coaching opportunities there. And I figured, well, let me go to Georgetown, go through that process, and I'll figure out what the next stage is after I graduate. And so as I went through the experience there, what ended up being sort of like the foundation of what I do now is I reframed my relationship with vulnerability, right? And so how I saw vulnerability prior to that was weakness, right? And so men don't cry and, you know, don't show emotion, that kind of thing. And that was sort of somewhat reinforced in my career in the workplace in terms of the command and control, industrial age type of environment. And so now I reframe that to its humanity. It's how we connect with one another. And so that's a lot about what I do now is I help people connect to who they are, unlearn a lot of stuff that they may have learned so that they can relearn and kind of focus on what matters to them now, what's most important, and how do they, you know, wherever they are now is fine. There's no judgment with that. But getting them to focus, and sometimes for the first time on themselves, because a lot of time we end up leading our lives based on the expectations of others, right? And so how do we get connected to ourselves so we can kind of intentionally move forward from where we are? And so that's a lot about what I do now with my coaching and consulting practice with individuals and teams.
Nice. Well, I definitely appreciate that because I think so many times, just as you said, you know, as you go throughout life, it seems to get noisier and noisier. You have more things pulling at you to do this or do that for whatever reason. And it's funny because a lot of times I usually say to myself is I try to go back to when I was a kid to find out like who you are and what you're passionate about, things that you like to do, because you just did it because it was your gift and sometimes you were good at it. And a lot of times we lose sight of that as we go on through life because it gets so noisy and there's so many things pulling us and we should be doing this or we should be doing that. And that you kind of have to, definitely correct me if I'm wrong, you have to work to get back to that simplicity of kind of who you are and the essence of who you are as a person.
It sounds strange, but that's exactly what it is, right? So we have all this stuff like layered on top of us, which ends up becoming beliefs and often limiting beliefs. Things, you know, people that were well-intended throughout our life, our parents, our grandparents, our teachers, because, you know, there's no judgment because they're looking through the lens of what they see, right? And so it's honoring that and saying, well, now that I have a different level of awareness, what do I want to create for myself? And so my journey is really about unleashing human greatness in teams and individuals. And that's a big part of it is the unlearning piece and just focusing on self, not from an ego perspective, but from a sort of a soulful, you know, what matters to me purpose perspective, so that we can kind of gravitate and move in the direction of where you want to go.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And I definitely appreciate you doing that, because I feel like there's never a time that you're supposed to do that through your life. You kind of have to take the initiative or come across somebody who says, just like you had that experience where somebody sees something in you and helps you to kind of see some of those things. So I know you obviously work with a lot of clients on a lot of teams. So I wanted to drill a little bit deeper. Could you take us through like exactly like what you do to kind of support and how you work with the clients you have?
So what I do ultimately is help people connect to their strengths and what makes them unique, and help them move from where they are to where they want to go. So there's a goal setting aspect to that, a purposeful goal setting. And it's really about discovering what your high energy and high performance places. And that energy piece sometimes get lost because we focus on performance so much. I'm high performing here. But what I find is people I work with, a lot of folks are just not fulfilled with what they're doing. They've been on the career path they got on. They sometimes forget why they got on it, right? They just are on it for maybe external expectations from parents, or that's what people are supposed to do when they graduate college. They go down this path or that path. And so it's really about a journey of discovery and really reconnecting to themselves to get to wherever they want to go. And so it becomes a going through an assessment process, and then we do a design based on the individual that or the team, what their needs are. And then we implement, and then we just go through the process again. We reassess and we adjust there too. So it starts with an assessment of having a grounding in the language. And I use a strengths assessment that is got some data backing to it and scientific. So people like that aspect of people that need data really gravitate to that. And it's really about embracing who you are, embracing who you're not. And we have the saying that I know who I am, I know who I'm not, and both are okay. It's that last part that we as human beings struggle with. And so it's about, you know, I say unlocking and unleashing human greatness. That human element of it is what we also struggle with, right? That we are vulnerable. We are, you know, there's times when we feel weak, and, you know, we suppress that stuff, or we kind of go into fear-based behaviors instead of just acknowledging that that's part of being human and understanding, hey, what am I needing here? And starting to look at self first rather than being dependent or victim mentality. And if we don't have what we need, then reaching out in interdependence to invite others to help us, because that's an act of caring, actually. People don't realize it as that, but it's an act of caring to ask for help. And so I help people reframe that, the thought of asking for help. And then I think that becomes easier when we do that. Asking for help or reaching out to people, it's really about just reframing what their belief system is around that. That might be hard for a lot of people. And that's a good example in terms of asking for help, because that's something we all struggle with at times.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And I've always heard this, and I don't know if this is, you know, why or what is one of the joys of being able to ask for help, is because a lot of times the greatest gift you can give to somebody is the gift of giving. And if you don't ask for help, you don't give people the opportunity to actually give to you or provide you or help you, then a lot of times you're kind of blocking somebody from having that greatest joy. So a lot of times when you're able to do that or create that opportunity, you don't do that, then that kind of blocks that opportunity for somebody to experience the greatest joy.
Yeah, I love where you're looking there. And it's interesting, because along my journey, I've heard the give to get, you know, that kind of thing. It's really not about giving to get. It's a giving for paying it forward, right? It's that aspect of giving without the expectation of reciprocity. And reciprocity. And so think about that. If everyone is just giving because they want to uplift humanity, and they're really trying to connect to another person and what they might need without any expectation, oftentimes that leads to reciprocity, but not just knee-jerk reaction. But hey, if they're able to help in the future, they're really willing to do that. You've created the conditions for that. And so it's really about creating the conditions by modeling it and being inviting in terms of your way of being versus doing it. I think that's the aspect of what our human journey is like. We've been conditioned to be doers. I got to do this. I got to be great. I got to execute. And all that's important. I don't mean to diminish that. But I often find that we neglect the being piece of that. And when we're being so encouraging, inspiring different ways of being, that opens up the space for more expansive doing and more creativity and innovation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that aspect of it, you know, as you touched on that. And also, I know you brought up a couple of times that vulnerability piece, but I wanted to kind of ask you for what I call your secret sauce. It could be for you or your organization, but do you feel like that human piece, or bringing that human, or bringing us back to being more human, I guess you could say, is what you feel kind of sets you apart and makes you unique?
It's part of what makes me unique. I think what people have told me when we get to the diversity and inclusion piece, is being a white male and kind of being in that space and having, being a voice in that space, mm-hmm. and advocating for it. You know, people always ask me, well, why, you know, why is that important to you? And it took a I didn't really know. I just was initially. And then I went back to some inspiration sort of from my mom. And if you think about the generations going back, gender roles in marriage were different, right? And so expectations were different. The men were traditionally the breadwinners, and you know, the moms were stay-at-home moms. And so the path my mom went down, she didn't go through the education process and was the stay-at-home mom and maybe hadn't set herself up to be financially independent if, you know, because my dad was there. And so I find that, especially nowadays where there's single parent households and single income households, that that's been kind of an important thing in terms of fairness and opportunity. And thinking in terms of where the opportunities for career growth and development and getting into leadership roles and being perceived as a leader, people of my demographic don't have as many challenges as other people do. And so I get curious about why there's challenges there and how can we kind of educate the people on leadership to see differently. And that's really what I think my perspective on helping people see differently, because we all have our lenses, but what if we expand our awareness and look through other people's eyes? And my strengths and my skill sets allow me to do that. And also I've trained myself to be able to kind of continue to try and get better at that. But if we're able to see that, then we're able to kind of develop a different lens of what a leader looks like, right? And while we're making some progress there, there's still a long ways to go. And so whether it's developing leaders and opportunities right now for people that are in a point in their career where they want to do that, and it's also building the pipeline. It's also going back to when kids make decisions about majors for schools, right? So women aren't choosing IT majors because there's no women in IT leadership. There's not as much of a pathway that they're seeing, or African-Americans or other demographics. And it just doesn't make sense to me. I think the mindset that got us here is archaic, and we need to create that shift. And so I believe it's the responsibility of all of us, not that everybody has to take on the charge in a way that I have, but how do we not just identify the issue, but actually help create change about the issue? And so that's where my inspiration for it comes from. And it comes from a little bit of vulnerability too, right? And so in terms of what I've done, how do I know what different communities other than mine really care about? What are their challenges and what is their perspective that's completely different than mine? And so that's where I made decisions around volunteering and culturally based nonprofits focused on leadership development and networking. And so I've done that in the Pan-Asian and the Latino community, being on boards so I can serve, but it's also a learning opportunity for me to actually firsthand understand better about those challenges so I can better help create change there.
I appreciate you for dedicating your time and your energy to that. So I wanted to switch gears a little bit, and I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO hack. So this could be like an app, a book, or a habit that you have, but what's something that makes you more effective and efficient?
Really, there's two things that have helped me. Gratitude practice. The other thing that's somewhat related is building a mindfulness practice, which has allowed me to focus better and decide what's important. And so personally, I think it's helpful for each of us to kind of think in terms of how do I not get overwhelmed by all that is coming at me personally, professionally, and focus on what matters.
Absolutely. No, I definitely appreciate that. And so now I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO nugget. So this is a word of wisdom or piece of advice. So if you can hop into a time machine, what would you tell your younger business self?
My younger business self, what I would say is notice. And awareness, right? And it's like, what happened to me was I was sort of going through the motions based on where my lens was, which I was told you get into a company, you're there for a certain period of time, then you retire, right? And so that was sort of the mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate those nuggets. And now I wanted to ask you my absolute favorite question, which is the definition of what it means to be a CEO. And we're hoping to have different quote unquote CEOs on the show. So Brian, what does being a CEO mean to you?
Being a CEO to me means being a leader and enabling your people to be successful, starting with your employees and ultimately your customers as well, because those are the people that are the reason why you're in business in the first place. So always remember your why and people first.
Absolutely, yeah. At the end of the day, I always say when you peel back the onion in business and in organizations, you kind of forget that it's made up of people, but you know, people are, you know, those that we need to cultivate and to make sure that we are developing those relationships and doing all the great things. And that only happens when you do take care of the people first. So I appreciate you for reminding us of that. I appreciate you for that being your mission and everything that you're doing. And what I wanted to do was pass you the mic, so to speak, just to see if there's anything additional you want to let our readers and listeners know. And then of course, how best people can get a hold of you and to find out about all the awesome things you're working on.
Thank you, Gresham. In terms of getting in touch with me, so BrianKellyLeadershipCoaching.com, which you mentioned at the beginning, social media, LinkedIn is usually a really good place to get connected to me there. And in terms of things I would leave the audience with, getting comfortable with the uncomfortable, right? As CEOs, oftentimes, we may have really good technical knowledge in terms of our business and whatnot, and stepping into the growth that may be necessary to kind of take it to the next level in terms of relationships with your employees, delegating, letting go of stuff, and cultivating the pipeline of leaders there too, so that you can focus on the strategic stuff and not stay so attached, perhaps, I've seen this happen in some cases, stay attached to what you've known, because at this point, as leader of the organization, you need to kind of be thinking ahead and in terms of the business and where it's going, and developing your employees so that they can kind of take care of the business as it currently is, but also position them and the company for future success.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I definitely appreciate that. A lot of times, you know, I think, you know, the ultimate definition of leadership is sometimes developing other leaders and empowering people to be able to kind of see, you know, the vision and be able to execute when you're not there. To me, that's a true sign of a great leader. So I definitely appreciate you for reminding us of that. And again, appreciate your time. We will have the links and information in the show notes as well so that everybody can follow up with you. But I appreciate you so much again, Brian. I hope you have a phenomenal rest of the day.
Thank you for listening to the I Am CEO podcast powered by Blue 16 Media. Tune in next time and visit us at imceo.co. IMCEO is not just a phrase, it's a community. Be sure to follow us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and everywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating. Grab CEO gear at www.ceogear.co. This has been the I Am CEO podcast with Gresham Harkless. Thank you for listening.